Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, Grace Orientation, 12 February, 2012. Father,
we thank you again for your magnificent grace, and we thank you, sir, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble now to worship you through the study of your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. First principle you need to have down, grace orientation and doctrinal orientation always work together. Grace orientation and doctrinal orientation always work together. Grace orientation emphasizes the divine side of post-salvation grace, whereas doctrinal orientation emphasizes the believer's response to grace. So grace orientation and doctrinal orientation always work together. Grace orientation emphasizing the divine side of post-salvation grace, whereas doctrinal orientation emphasizes the believer's response to grace. Now the second thing, there is no spiritual growth except in the sphere of grace. There is no spiritual growth except in the sphere of grace. Now, spiritual growth is very important. That's the whole key. After salvation, what? You believe in Christ. You heard the gospel. You place your faith in Jesus Christ. You're born again. You have the gift of eternal life. You have the imputed righteousness of God. You're in the royal family of God. You're going to live with Him forever and ever. But after salvation, what? What's the objective now, here on earth, until we get a resurrection body, until our physical death or the rapture, whichever comes first? What is the issue now? Well, you came to the cross, you placed your faith in Jesus Christ. And when you placed your faith in Christ, you were born again. Now, you might have been 70, you might have been 80, 90, you might have been 40, you might have been 10. No matter what age you were, the moment you believed in Christ, you started out as a spiritual baby. You're spiritually a baby. You might be 40, but you're a baby. You might be 50, but you're a baby. You might be 17, you're a baby. You've placed your faith in Christ, you're a spiritual baby. Now, the plan of God is not for you to stay as a baby, but for you to grow up. To grow up spiritually from babyhood to adolescence, and from adolescence to spiritual maturity. This is called experiential sanctification. This experiential sanctification comes from living the spiritual life, functioning under the spiritual skills. Spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit. Spiritual skill number two, metabolization of the Word of God consistently and faithfully, assembling in a sound Bible-teaching church in humility, respect for God, His Word, the pastor teaches it, and consistently and faithfully learning Bible doctrine And as you learn the Word of God under the filling of the Spirit, you advance from babyhood to adolescence to spiritual maturity. And this is where you begin the normal Christian way of life. You never are living the normal Christian way of life when you're a baby or an adolescence. It's when you reach spiritual adulthood that you begin living the normal Christian way of life. Now, 2 Peter 3:18 is a very important passage for us, royal family. And it's related to spiritual growth. And there's something very, very critical and important if you're going to grow up spiritually, and that's grace. If you are going to grow up spiritually, grace and the sphere of grace has to be the issue. So 2 Peter 3:18, keep on growing. This is spiritual growth. In the sphere, dative of sphere, the dative case is the dative of sphere, in the sphere of grace. You see, this growing up spiritually is not going to take place unless you're functioning in the sphere of grace. And this spiritual growth is not going to take place unless you're functioning in the sphere of truth, doctrinal orientation, grace orientation, doctrinal orientation. So keep on growing spiritually in the sphere of grace and in the sphere of the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Glory to Him both now and in the day of eternity. Amen. All right. Spiritual growth. After salvation, what? To grow up. Unfortunately, some Christians have been babies for 40 years. That was the Corinthian church. And Paul had to chastise them and he had to brace them and say in 1 Corinthians 3, I can't teach you as mature believers. I have to teach you as babies. Spiritual babies, because you're still carnal. You're operating by your sin nature. You're operating by the energy of the flesh. There's no spiritual power. There's no power of God in your life. There's no filling of the Spirit. There's no spiritual growth. You're still babies. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. So God wants us to grow up. But if you're going to grow up, it has to be within a sphere, the sphere of grace. So one, grace orientation is the sphere for growth. You see, in the Greek, you have these different cases. You have the nominative case, that's many times your subject. You have the genitive case. There are 26 different genitives in the Greek. That's why a pastor, if you have the spiritual gift of pastor teacher, that's why the Bible says you better prepare for the ministry. And you need to go to seminary and prepare for the ministry. And unfortunately today, there's not a lot of places where they're training young men to be sound exegetes of the Word of God. They're very, very, very few. Maybe one. Used to be that there were several, but they're not anymore. And you need to learn how to exegete the Word of God and the original Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic. There are 26 different genitives. So when I look in the Bible and I see a genitive case, I ask myself, which one of the 26 genitives is it? That's why I went to seminary. I went to seminary to learn which of the 26 genitives it is. Dative case, there are about 12 different dative cases, why the dative case is used. Accusative case, same way. In one of the greatest classes I've ever had, and I don't know of any where they even do this anymore, Dr. Phil Williams at Dallas Theological Seminary, and he had developed this his infamous yellow pages. And I took every course I could from Dr. Williams. And you go into his class, and it would be in Corinthians. Next year it would be in Philippians. Another class would be in Ephesians. And you would he'd hand out, it would be Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, he'd have several words listed. Then you have verse 2, several words listed. Verse 3, several words listed in the Greek. And the assignment was, if it was a noun, to say what case it was and which use of the genitive case it was, which use of the dative case it was, which use of the accusative case it was. If it was a verb, what tense is it and what kind of aorist is it? What kind of present tense is it? What kind of imperfect tense is it? And that's all we did. And he had a notebook, and he had notes on there how we could know what use it was. And we pored over and pored over and pored over and memorized the how you could tell which kind of genitive, which kind of dative it is, because that's the key to explaining the Word of God so you can understand it and know exactly what God is saying. Well, this is the dative case, the dative of sphere. Grace orientation is the sphere for growth, too. When you get outside the sphere of grace, when you get outside of the sphere of grace through sin, through legalism, you stop growing spiritually and become a loser. Oh, you don't lose your salvation, that's impossible, but you become a loser in the plan of God and lose out on greater grace blessings for both time and eternity. So when you get outside of that sphere of grace through sin or legalism, you stop growing spiritually and become a loser. 3, you cannot fulfill the Christian way of life outside of the sphere of grace. You cannot fulfill the Christian way of life outside of the sphere of grace. For Christian service is not divine good apart from the function of the spiritual skills. Christian service is not divine good apart from the spiritual skills. What are the spiritual skills? Number 1, filling of the Spirit. You lose it through sin. You recover it through rebound. Number 2, metabolization of the Word of God. Consistently and faithfully learning and believing God's Word. Growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Growing up in the sphere of grace and truth. And then executing God's will and plan and purpose for your life. The spiritual skills. Christian service, and there's a lot of Christian service going on. Christian service is not divine good apart from the function of the spiritual skills. 5, without the sphere of grace. And what is the sphere of grace? Grace means God does the work and you receive the benefit. Grace means it's God's power, not your power. Grace means that the Christian way of life, the spiritual life, must be executed in the power of God. I am blessed to have the family I have, and I am blessed to have grandsons that are just... If I couldn't have had better grandsons if I went out and tried to handpick them somewhere. I got the best grandsons in the universe. I love them. We just celebrated Luke's 15th birthday. God let him live 15 years. He's the greatest. What a blessing for Debbie and me to have a grandson like Luke, have a grandson like Zach, and have a grandson like Hunter, and a granddaughter like Sophie. It's not Sophia, it's Sophopia. That gal has, somehow I'm going to hook a sleigh up to her and let her pull me around. She can do it. He's amazing. It was Zach, and this was before he was my grandson. We were at having some to-do at our house, and a bunch of the members of the church were there. Maybe you were there. And someone asked me to make a toast, and I made a toast. I thought it was a very good toast, by the way. And I kind of waxed eloquent on this toast. And then after it was over, everybody's kind of ching, 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 ching. And Zachy goes, "Can I make a toast?" I said, "Absolutely. Zach, you make a toast." And he looked at me and goes, "To God's power." I wish I had said that. To God's power. Well, that has been the Upland Bible Church toast. When this church is long gone, we're in heaven, there's going to be an epitaph in heaven, to God's power. And that is the whole key. God's power, not your power, not who and what you are, but who and what God is. It's God's power. It's God's grace. Grace means God does the work in His power, His way, not you. Not energy of the flesh. Not human good dead works. There's a lot of Christian service going out there, and it doesn't mean a thing. Christian service is not divine good apart from the function of the spiritual skills. 5, without the sphere of grace and truth, we cannot glorify God. Without the sphere of grace and truth, we cannot glorify God. It isn't who and what you are. It's who and what God is. It's not your strength and your power. It's God's power. It's God's strength. It's God's grace. And this spiritual life, He works in you and through you. God doing it. God's power. God's grace. Not you, God. And then He's glorified. And that's why we're here. Wow. How great is that? We get to be here and God works through us, in us and through us, to accomplish His good pleasure, to accomplish His will. And that glorifies Him forever and ever and ever. 6, doctrinal orientation begins when you use grace orientation to learn and believe God's Word. Doctrinal orientation begins when you use grace orientation to learn and believe God's Word. And you got to have grace orientation. And that means humility. Arrogance, you'll never learn God's Word in arrogance. Without respect for God, without respect for the Word of God, without respect for the pastor as God's servant to teach His Word, you'll never grow. You will never grow up in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You will never glorify God. Your arrogance nullifies it. Doctrinal orientation begins when you use grace orientation to learn and believe God's Word. 7, doctrinal orientation is the Word of God that you have believed circulating in the stream of consciousness of your heart. Doctrinal orientation is the Word of God you have believed circulating in the stream of consciousness of your heart. 8, so faith perception brings grace orientation together with doctrinal orientation. 9, you cannot have grace orientation without doctrinal orientation, or doctrinal orientation without grace orientation. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is our role model, and He established precedence for us in living this unique spiritual life. And that precedence emphasizes the uniqueness of the church age that we live in. We live in a unique time in human history. The church age. The intensified stage of the angelic conflict. When man was created, and Adam and the woman, Adam and Isha, what a beautiful name. You ladies have the beautiful name, Isha. The man's name was Dirt. Adam, Adama, Dirt. So we have no way, you know, and we can't get too up and up about ourselves, you know. After all, we're dirt. And they're not really often you say, that's really good looking dirt. And then God took a bone, a rib from man and built, Banad, built the woman, Isha. Everything about the creation of the woman is awesome, beautiful, fantastic. Banad Isha. Created dirt. But ever since the creation of man, there's been, and the fall of man, with the fall of man came the attack and the angelic conflict. And Satan, who was the temporary ruler of planet Earth and is now, attacked the line of Christ all throughout the Old Testament. He attacks the line of Christ. And then with the incarnation of the Son of God, he attacked Christ himself. And the most frustrating thing of all for him was that he could not destroy. He tried to destroy the incarnation of the Son of God at his birth. It was so frustrating for him that he couldn't do it. And he failed in his attack on Christ at the first advent. But then Christ was buried and resurrected and ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father, and the church age began. And with Pentecost and the church age, something happened that never happened in all of human history. Now, every single believer makes up the body of Christ. Christ is at the right hand of the Father. The attack is stopped on the line of Christ. The attack is stopped on Christ. He's at the right hand of the Father. Now the attack is on the body of Christ, and every single one of us are in the body of Christ. Intensified stage of the angelic conflict. And so precedence, and this Christ is a role model for this unique spiritual life for us to be able to handle the intensified stage of the angelic conflict, was provided by Christ and then passed on to us. So the doctrine of precedence emphasizes the uniqueness of the church age and the grace provision for the ordinary believer. You and me, the ordinary believer. The doctrine of precedence emphasizes the uniqueness of the church age and the grace provision for the ordinary believer. Ephesians 3 verse 2. If you have heard about the dispensation of the grace of God, and you have, first class condition, which was given to me for your benefit, which was given to me for your benefit. In other words, Ephesians 3:2 says, it is for our benefit that we are in this dispensation, the dispensation of the grace of God. Now I want you to turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal encouragement and good hope, confidence by grace, may He encourage and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word, who has given us eternal encouragement and confidence, good hope, confidence. How? By grace. By grace. So the encouragement that comes from grace orientation is found in 2 Thessalonians 2:16 and 17. Now, there's a lot of neat stuff here. And so we're going to go one more Sunday. And then we'll probably go one more Sunday. But I really want you to get, this is so cool. One of the great things that comes with the problem-solving device of grace orientation is comfort, encouragement, strength. I want you to get that. This is awesome. All right? With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed. If there's anyone who is here this morning without Christ, without hope, without eternal life, we want to make one issue very clear for you. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, He was thinking about you. And every sin you've ever committed, past, present, or future, they were all gathered up by God the Father. They were poured out on Christ on the cross, and they were judged in the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all. And therefore, your sins are no longer the issue. The issue is not a sin question, it's a son question. What do you think of Jesus Christ? For the one who simply believes in Him, there's the gift of eternal life. For those who reject Him, eternal condemnation. And right where you're sitting right now, with your heads bowed and with your eyes closed, you have the freedom and the privacy in your own soul to be telling God the Father that you are believing in Jesus Christ. And at that very instant, you pass from death to life, from condemnation to justification. These things were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the sons of God, even to those who believe in Him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, Father, we thank You for the privilege of studying Your Word. May God, the Holy Spirit, challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. For we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.